Today's broadcast was originally recorded on February 2nd, 2026.
No one is illegal on stolen land.
Well, if you think about it, actually, everybody's illegal on stolen land, right?
I don't know why I came here tonight.
Maybe that's just me.
I got the feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. Stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Yep. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is the broadcast. As heard on KPFK, 90.7 FM in LA, 98.7 in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake. Elsewhere in California, in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI, Round Mountains, KKRN. Up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's KSO, and Eugene's KEPW. Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU. In Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP. Rochester, New York's WRFZ. Down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ. Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX, Richmond, Virginia's WRWK, Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, and Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950 KTNF. Still saving the world for all of us. And we're heard coast to coast and around the globe every day on the internets and the Progressive Voices Channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, Delmarva FM, and most of your favorite podcast sites. Blanketing Planet Earth, I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me, from bradblog.com. Thank you very much for joining us today. Great to have you with us. There has been, as usual, a boatload of news in the few days since we have last spoken to you late last week, and I do hope to welcome your calls today on any of it, if you like, whether I cover it here or not in our first segment, as we keep the lines open to our listeners whenever possible, or at least we try to. Our phone number for those listening today in our live Southern California listening area or anywhere around the globe, if you're listening via the web stream on kpfk.org, our number, as always, is 818-985-5735. There is so much going on all at once that I'm sure I won't cover everything you would like me to talk about, so that's where you come in. You can try and help fix that with one simple phone call to 818-985-KPFK. For that matter, I'm unlikely to get to everything that I want to talk about, but of course, that's what the rest of the broadcasts this week are for, I suppose. Desi Doyen, you'll hold me to that, I suspect.
We will do our best to cover it all. It's kind of difficult
these
days.
Yeah, it's real difficult keeping up.
For some reason.
Yeah, I know. And I know you're already working on a bunch of important stories that are breaking today. For your Green News Report tomorrow.
Yes, lots of fun stuff.
We may get to some of that today as well.
Yep.
Anyway, as we go to air, the government, as we had been trying to warn you for some time over the past month, is now once again in shutdown mode after Senate Democrats refused to agree to a bill that gives new funding to DHS and the Border Patrol and ICE without serious limitations of some sort on how those out-of-control agencies and the goons that work for them now will operate in American cities against American citizens and non-citizens alike. On Friday, the Senate voted to adopt five huge spending packages to keep the government mostly open and funded, but Democrats would only agree to a two-week extension, or a continuing resolution, as they call it, for the sixth package to keep DHS and ICE at current spending levels until funding will run out in about 2 weeks, unless guardrails such as body cam requirements for ICE agents, no masking requirements for these goons in the streets, and more They're holding out for that. They got 2 weeks to make it work before that we really do run out of money there. And that's a bill. That package also includes the FEMA, TSA, Coast Guard, etc. I also hope that they will insist, Democrats, on beginning to claw back some or all of that $75 billion slush fund that was created and granted to ICE by Republicans, more money than most militaries have in the world, granted to them in their so-called big, beautiful bill last summer. The House still has to approve what the Senate's spending measure that was passed on Friday, along with that 2-week CR for DHS and ICE, though that is expected to happen in the House on Tuesday after lawmakers return from a week-long plus recess extended by the extraordinarily, climate change-fueled extreme weather across much of the country. Am I getting ahead of my skis on that, Desi Doyen, or
no.
Am I right to say?
That's absolutely right to say. There are still flight delays around, especially on the East Coast.
Now, if you've got any thoughts or questions on any of that, our lines are open to you at 818-985-5735. We also had some big election news happen over the weekend that I hope to get to. Two journalists, including former CNN anchor Don Lemon, were arrested late last week for the crime of documenting a protest at a church in St. Paul, Minnesota, where one of its preachers just happens to work for ICE. Donald Trump on Sunday night announced that he would be closing the Kennedy Center to supposedly renovate it, but really it's because nobody wants to have anything to do with the place, neither patrons nor performers at this point, since he took over the living memorial to the late President John F. Kennedy as originally and still mandated and named by Congress before Trump took it over by force and slapped his name on it. Let's start here, though, simply because it's the most unifying news of the day, or at least it should be, if we weren't in the dumbest timeline of them all. Bad Bunny, the Puerto Rican pop superstar, which makes him an American citizen, by the way, for those of you too brain poisoned to understand that, took home the top prize at the Grammy Awards on Sunday night. The first time the album of the year has gone to a Spanish language work during a frequently raucous ceremony marked by ICE anti-ICE statements from the ceremony's host and recipients alike. The Puerto Rican superstar dedicated his acceptance speech, delivered in a mix of Spanish and English, to, quote, all the people who had to leave their homeland, their country, to follow their dreams, which, if you've forgotten to keep score at home, that includes damn near everyone in this country or their parents or ancestors, unless, of course, they were brought here in chains against their wishes, or were here long before the white settlers took it over and kept it for their own. The Grammy ceremony on Sunday evening, as Bloomberg reports it today, bounced between the usual musical honors to the charged political climate. Trevor Noah, the event's host for the sixth time, joked about U.S. President Donald Trump and his reported links to the late sex predator Jeffrey Epstein. In response, Trump threatened to sue the comedian, whining in a social media post that his statements were, quote, false and defamatory. Good luck there, Mr. President. Winners spoke out against the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement crackdown on undocumented immigrants and, of course, the American citizens who get in their way. During his first acceptance speech of the night for Best Musica Urbana album, Bad Bunny, whose real name is Benito Antonio Martinez Ocasio, spoke against rising anti-immigrant rhetoric and policies in the U.S.
Before I say thanks to God, I'm going to say ICE out. We're not savage, we're not animals, we're not aliens, we are humans, and we are Americans. Also, I want to say to the people, I know it's tough to know, not to hate on these days. And I was thinking, sometime we get contaminados. I don't know how to say that in English. The hate get more powerful with more hate. The only thing that is more powerful than hate is love.
Love is all you need. You know, that Bad Bunny is actually a pretty good bunny, now that I think about it. Country star Shaboozy, who won his first Grammy for Best Country Duo Group Performance, dedicated his award to immigrants, noting that, quote, immigrants built this country, literally, actually, so this is for them, he said through tears, adding, for all children of immigrants, this is also for those who came to this country in search of better opportunities to be part of a nation that promised freedom for all and equal opportunity to everyone willing to work for it. Joni Mitchell, who won her 11th Grammy at age 82, God love her, donned a pin that said Ice Out. Olivia Dean, the 26-year-old British soul singer, won Best New Artist and also voiced her support for immigrants. Quote, I'm the granddaughter of an immigrant, she said. I'm a product of bravery, and I think those people deserve to be celebrated. Well, we join Ms. Dean in those sentiments here. And Billie Eilish, who won the Grammy for Song of the Year, gave a shout-out to the protesters and protectors across the country, noting, as you heard at the top of the show, quote, no one is illegal on stolen land. To loud applause, she added, I feel really hopeful in this room, and I feel like we just need to keep fighting and speaking and protesting, and our voices really do matter, she said. Do they? Well, I think they actually do, bigly. And it's the most important thing, frankly, that we can do, by and large, until we get to exercise our voices at the ballot box in this critical midterm election year. That, along with supporting our friends and neighbors and our communities, the way we are all, the nation is being inspired to learn from what's going on up in Minneapolis. Big Bunny's big wins follow a year that saw him become the most popular artist on Spotify, drawing inspiration from classic Puerto Rican musical sounds and, of course, driving Donald Trump and the MAGAs crazy. Though in truth, it's getting to be a pretty short drive at this point. Last year, Bad Bunny set up a 31-show residency on the island of Puerto Rico, selling tickets for certain shows only to local residents while having his final concert streamed globally by Amazon. I'm sure Donald Trump enjoyed that. He's now following that residency with a global tour that will skip the U.S. Why? Because he says he does not want fans to risk being snatched up and deported or subject to ICE raids at his concerts here in the U.S. Next week, of course, he's slated to headline the Super Bowl halftime show. That should be fun. It should help drive Trump and MAGA kind of over the rest of the cliff that they have been speeding quickly toward, if you ask me.
Well, yeah. I don't think I think that that's where it's going to go. There's
I know. We'll see. Looking forward to that. Anyway, Bad Bunny has gone on to become one of the most popular artists on the planet, despite his singing and rapping entirely in Spanish. In related news today, the whole world saw the image over the past week of 5-year-old Liam Conejo Ramos being held as bait by immigration officers in Minneapolis to lure his mother out of the house. Officials had already arrested his father, Adrian Alexander Coneo Arias, as he returned home with Liam from preschool. That was on January 20. Erica Ramos, Liam's mother, told Telemundo in Spanish that she, quote, witnessed the scene from the window and couldn't do anything. Adrian begged me repeatedly not to go outside because he was afraid that they would arrest me too, she said. Ramos said the immigration officers noticed her, took Liam out of their car, and brought him to the front door so that she would open it. Quote, they knocked and they knocked, and my son Liam kept saying, Mommy, open the door. I was terrified, she said, while sobbing. She said she didn't open the door out of fear that she would be arrested and her other child would be left alone. Is America great now or what? Liam and his father were then transported together to a detention facility in Texas, where on Saturday, I'm happy to say federal U.S. District Judge Fred Beery ordered the boy and his father released in what our friend Tom Sullivan, writing over Digby's Hullabaloo, describes as a sharp rebuke to DHS Secretary Kristi Noem, U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi, Acting Director of ICE Todd Lyons, and others. From Judge Beery's opinion, however, this is really good. He writes, among other things here, the case, talking about this Liam case and whether they ought to release him, he says the case has its genesis in the ill-conceived and incompletely implemented government pursuit of daily deportation quotas. Apparently, even if it requires traumatizing children, this court and others regularly send undocumented people to prison and orders them deported, but do so by proper legal procedures. Apparently also is the government's ignorance of an American historical document called the Declaration of Independence, the judge wrote. 33-year-old Thomas Jefferson enumerated grievances against a would-be authoritarian king over our nation, nascent nation, citing, among other things, quote, he has sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people. We, the people, are hearing echoes of that history, the judge wrote, adding, quote, and then there is that pesky inconvenience called the Fourth Amendment, the right of the people, not the citizens, mind you, but the people, to be secured in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation. The judge goes on to note, quote, civics lesson to the government. Administrative warrants issued by the executive branch to itself do not pass probable cause muster. That is called the fox guarding the hen house, wrote the judge. The Constitution requires an independent judicial officer. Accordingly, the court finds that the Constitution of these United States trumps this administration's detention of petitioner Adrian Conejo Arias and his minor son. Then the judge adds this personal observation. He writes, quote, observing human behavior confirms that for some of us, some among us, the perfidious lust for unbridled power and the imposition of cruelty in its quest know no bounds and are bereft of human decency, and the rule of law be damned. Well, someone give this man a Grammy. Ultimately, he knows petitioners may, because of the arcane United States immigration system, return to their home country involuntarily or by self-deportation, but he says that result should occur through a more orderly and humane policy than currently in place. The judge concludes with a judicial finger in the constitutional dike, it is so ordered. Below his signature, by the way, Judge Beery added the now all too familiar photo of Liam Ramos in his little blue bunny hat. I think it's a bunny, but a very good one. Along with a couple of Bible quotes, including Matthew 19:14, suffer the little children, and John 11:35, Jesus wept.
And, of course, that Matthew psalm, that's not suffer the little children, as in don't make the children suffer.
No, exactly. Just to be clear.
Yeah.
We need to be clear about this, apparently, because some folks who pretend to love the Bible appear to have never read it or don't actually understand what it says.
Or don't care.
Or don't care. Ding, ding. All right. In the meantime, as Liam returned to Minnesota, his school was closed on Monday thanks to bomb threats emailed in to several schools in his district after his return. There was also a reported presence of ICE vehicles in the parking lot of a nearby high school. Perhaps even more troubling today, it's being reported that two detainees at the nation's only current immigrant family detention center, that would be the one 70 miles south of San Antonio, the one that housed 5-year-old Ecuadorian Liam Ramos, have, quote, active measles infections. Florida officials halted, federal officials halted, quote, all movement and quarantined some migrants there, according to the one of the horrible Department of Homeland Security spokespeople in a statement. The measles cases were first confirmed on Saturday, setting off concerns from medical professionals and immigration advocates that the potential for spread of the world's most infectious virus could have happened in that facility. After Ramos and his dad were ordered released and returned home to Minneapolis, does Minnesota now have to worry about a measles outbreak in the state thanks to our government's own idiocy? Yes, of course they do. More than 1,400 people, including infants as young as 2 months, have been detained at this facility down in Dilley, Texas. Despite a federal statement that governs the rights of children in detention and generally holds that they cannot be imprisoned for longer than 20 days when accompanied by their parents, many families at the facilities, in fact, have been there for more than 2 months and as long as 8 months, according to lawyers and advocates. They've described unsafe conditions at the facility, including poor drinking water, food, hygiene conditions, and being forced to sleep with the lights on 24 hours a day. Mind you, at least 32 people have now died in ICE detention last year alone, the most in two decades. Four deaths have reportedly been been reported in Texas immigrant detention facilities, according to the Texas Tribune, including a 55-year-old Cuban man whose death in January the El Paso medical examiner found to be homicide after officials at the facility reported his death was a suicide. Huh. Which one is telling the truth? In 2025, the U.S. also saw the most measles cases in decades, more than 2,200 such infections. A disease that had been largely eradicated until a decade or two ago when folks started pretending that there was some problem with the measles vaccine. Those 2,200 infections include 762 people in a West Texas outbreak in which two children died and 99 were hospitalized. One person with measles can spread it to 12 to 18 other unvaccinated individuals on average, that according to experts. But of course, when they're housed in close confined quarters, well, that number could end up being much higher. We will see. 20% of unvaccinated kids with measles usually require hospitalization. So what's being done to take care of them medically, wondered Dr. Peter Hotez, the leading infectious disease expert and dean for Baylor's College of Medicine, as quoted by the Texas Tribune. Neha Desai, a lawyer for the National Center for Youth Law, which represents children in immigration custody, said that for months she and other lawyers have been, quote, deeply concerned about the health of children and families at the Dilley facility, given the substandard medical care. She said some children have come in sick and have gotten worse while detained. Others have come in relatively healthy and become seriously ill while detained. The active measles infections at Dilley have only exacerbated our grave concern. She said this is an untenable situation with a simple solution. Families should never be detained, she said. According to the CDC, there have been at least 588 confirmed measles cases in the U.S. so far in 2026 alone. Barely a month old. Of those, the CDC says 94% of the cases, 94% involve people who are unvaccinated. And one more before we get to our break here. Speaking of Texas, we had some special elections down there over the weekend, one of which we had given you a heads up about in recent weeks, as it would affect the already incredibly narrow, essentially one vote margin that Republicans currently enjoy in the U.S. House. Democrat Christian Menefee, a former Harris County attorney, won the special election runoff in Texas's 18th congressional district on Saturday, ending a long vacancy as Texas Governor Greg Abbott had scheduled the elections at the latest possible date. So folks in Houston, excuse me, have gone without representation in the U.S. House for 11 months after the seat of Congressman Sylvester Turner opened up with his death in March, I believe it was, last year. Menefee easily defeated the former Houston City Council member Amanda Edwards, also a Democrat, by the way, in the weekend runoff contest. Yes, they have their runoffs on the weekend in Texas. Since they're already about 49th in the country for voter turnout, they figured they'd make it even worse still. The current partisan breakdown in the U.S. House is 218 Republicans to 213 Democrats. After the resignation of Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene and the death of California Republican Congressman Doug LaMalfa. So basically, Republican Speaker Mike Johnson will be able to lose one single vote, one Republican on any party line vote once Menefee is sworn in. Of course, if the current, hopefully short-lived government shutdown continues for any length of time, I suppose that he could use that as an excuse again to not swear in the new Democrat, just as he did for months during the October-November shutdown last year, refusing to seat Arizona's Democratic Congresswoman Adelita Grijalva after her special election, despite Johnson having quickly sworn in two Republicans during government shutdowns in the past. But the biggest election news over the weekend in Texas by far, and I guess in the nation by far, and the one that is likely really, really worrying Republicans today for good reason, well, it wasn't that U.S. House race after all. Democrat Taylor Raymond won a special election for the Texas State Senate on Saturday. And what makes it the most important election of the weekend? Well, he flipped an otherwise very reliably Republican district that Donald Trump actually won in 2024 by 17 points. That's what Donald Trump won it by. Remit, a labor union leader and a veteran, easily defeated Republican Lee Wamsgans, a Republican in the Fort Worth area district, by, ready for this, more than 14 points as of last night, with almost all votes counted now. So let's underscore that for a second. Trump won the district by 17 points back in 2024. And now the Democrat won the district over the weekend by 14 points. That is a 31-point swing for the Democrats in deep ruby red Texas. Hey, Republicans, are you getting the picture yet? Remit's victory added to Democrats' record of overperforming in special elections over the past year since Trump took office again, though usually they would do that by, you know, closer to the average of 13 points, a 13-point swing. This was a 31-point swing, and it was in, well, Desi's home state of Texas. Nice job, Des.
Yeah. I think some people are ready to vote.
You think? I think they are, chomping at the bit. Texas Democratic Party Chair Kendall Scudder said that Remit won by standing with working people, talking to Texans about the future, saying, quote, "This win shows what is possible in Texas with a strong organizing, great candidates, with strong organizing, great candidates and strategic investment." He said in a statement, "People are noticing the Democrats have the workers' back and are delivering results." Of course, he would. He's the chair of the Texas Democratic Party. The Republican Wamsgans called Saturday's result, quote, "a wake-up call for Republicans in Tarrant County, Texas, and the nation," unquote. And the Republican candidate who lost had been endorsed by Donald Trump himself, who wrote on his failing social media site on the day of the Saturday election in a long endorsement which reads in part, "Today is the day." To all voters in Texas's 9th state Senate district, get out and vote, wrote Trump, for a phenomenal candidate, Lee Wamsgans. She is a highly successful entrepreneur and an incredible supporter of our movement to make America great again. The radical left Democrats are spending a fortune to beat a true MAGA warrior, Lee Wamsgans. You can win this election for Lee, who has my complete and total endorsement, wrote Trump. On Sunday, that was on Saturday, but on Sunday, after her and his humiliating defeat, Trump was asked for his reaction to the stunning results in Texas by a reporter. Here's what he said on Fox News.
Texas, a Democrat won the special election in an area that you had won by 17 points. What is your reaction to that?
I don't know. I didn't hear about it. Somebody ran where?
In Texas, a special election for legislative.
The 9th state Senate seat.
I'm not involved in that. That's a local Texas race. No, I don't know anything about it.
Yes. He doesn't know anything. Who? Wait, where? What state? Texas? Never heard of it.
What are you talking about?
Huh? Who's that? That's local, Ray. Well, I don't pay attention to that.
I'm not on the ballot there, so I don't care.
Yeah. At this point, you know, he's like that mobster from New York years ago. Remember that guy who walked around in his bathrobe to try to make everyone think that he was insane? You know, while he was facing murder charges to try and get off the hook. Well, Donald Trump, guess what, is not insane. Not fully. Not yet, anyway. He's getting there. But he knows about that election. He knows that his party was crushed on Saturday just after his endorsement of the Republican candidate in the race. He knows that, and he knows why they were crushed. Because of him and his horrible policies that damn near everyone, even Republicans deep in the heart of Texas, despise along with him. So he's just attempting more gaslighting. Who? Where was this again? Whenever he's making up the lie, when he's being asked a reporter question, you can always tell. Because you always ask, wait, where was that? Say that again. Jeffrey who? Epstein? Is that... So, yeah, he's trying to gaslight here. Don't fall for it. I suppose it's possible someone tweeted that endorsement for him and didn't tell him. In which case, by the way, who's actually running the goddamn country? Who do you think is running this country as Donald Trump turns everything to crap that he touches, including now the Kennedy Center, which we'll try to get to a little bit after a quick break, along with your calls on any of these stories or any others that you'd like to jump in on. Got any questions for me on that raid down there in Fulton County at the Elections Warehouse last week with, weirdly enough, the director of the National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, in tow down there? What's going on down there? 818-985-5735. 818-985-5735. These are still your public airwaves. Use them before you lose them entirely. 818-985-KPFK. I'm Brad Friedman, and this is The Bradcast.
Hi, this is Desi Doyen from the Green News Report and The Bradcast. What the public hears on the public airwaves matters. At The Bradcast, we do our best to bring you accurate news and analysis on the issues that actually matter, and we do it all independently without corporate or political influence. But we can't do it without you, now more than ever. Please help us stay on your public airwaves by going to bradblog.com/donate to help keep us going. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
Hey, this is Brad. You're listening to an encore presentation of The Bradcast. Welcome back to The Bradcast. Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com. 818-985-5735 is our phone number. I'll get to the Kennedy Center and that ridiculousness in a moment. But let me get to Gabe in Venice. Hey, Gabe, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Hi, Brad.
Hi, how are you, sir? What's on your mind?
I'm fine. I just wanted to, this is actually relatively, I don't want to jump on your thing, but it's kind of late news, but it's happened a couple of weeks ago, is Jamie Dimon of the J.P. Morgan Chase Bank in New York City yeah. has dropped Trump as a client. Apparently, I guess we don't know why, but I get a feeling it's the five bankruptcies that he is.
I think, Gabe, let me jump in here. I think, unless there's something that I missed, you said you were sort of late on this one. I think you are sort of late. I think Jamie Dimon and J.P. Morgan Chase actually dropped Donald Trump back in 2021 after his after the riot, the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol, and that what happened a week or two ago was actually that Donald Trump is suing J.P. Morgan and Jamie Dimon, private companies which are allowed to, you know, keep someone as a customer or not, up to them. He's now suing them for like $10 billion for having dropped them as a customer. Is way back in 2021. Is that the story as you heard it? Am I misunderstanding it, or were you?
I stand corrected, Brad, as usual. Thank you. And but apparently, I guess he showed up with a big sack of Bitcoin, and they told him to get lost. That's just my joke. Okay, I'll let you go. I just wanted to remind everybody that Donald Trump is suing the bank because they won't let him in.
Well, they shouldn't let him in. I appreciate that, because he'll ruin the bank just like he ruined everybody else. Thanks, Gabe. I appreciate that call, sir. 818-985-KPFK. Well, Donald Trump announced, speaking of ruining things, on Sunday night that he has determined that the nation's premier performing arts center, the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts in Washington, that it should close for about 2 years, give or take, because he feels like it. In a really long, rambling post on his failing social media site, Trump wrote, among other things, that, and make no mistake, these things are complete and utter nonsense. He wrote, in part, after a one-year review of the Trump Kennedy Center that has taken place with contractors, musical experts, art institutions, and other advisors and consultants, deciding between either construction with closure and reopening or partial construction while continuing entertainment operations through a much longer period of time, working in and around the performances, I have determined that the Trump Kennedy Center, if temporarily closed for construction, revitalization, and complete rebuilding, can be, without question, the finest performing arts facility of its kind anywhere in the world. In other words, if we don't close, the quality of construction will not be nearly as good, and the time to completion, because of interruptions with audiences from the many events using the facility, will be much longer. Now, this goes on and on and on. Mind you, this is more, way more than he ever had to say before he tore down the entire East Wing of the White House without saying anything to anybody. He goes on to say, based on these findings, and again, you know he's lying because he's explaining so much. Based on these findings, and totally subject to board approval, the board that he stacked with his lackeys, I have determined that the fastest way to bring the Trump Kennedy Center to the highest level of success, beauty, and grandeur is to cease entertainment operations for an approximately 2 year period of time. Therefore, the Trump Kennedy Center will close on July 4th, 2026. In honor of the 250th anniversary of our country. So he's closing the Kennedy Center in honor of the 250th anniversary of our country. Here's a greater honor, sir. Why don't you resign in honor of the 250th anniversary? I mean, if you really want to make the date special, but make no mistake, I've heard from people about this who have said, well, I heard that he was going to renovate. This has nothing to do with renovation or construction. It has everything to do with the fact that performers are dropping their engagements like flies. Ticket subscribers are canceling their subscriptions. They've left performances with about two-thirds of the seats empty at this point since Donald Trump took over the center fire the board made up, put on his own hand-picked board of directors, which he chairs, named it after, awkwardly, after himself. So rather than, you know, prove to be a failure under his leadership as the bottom falls out of the Donald Trump-ruined John F. Kennedy Memorial Center for the Performing Arts, he's just closing it all together. Well, we have to close it. I mean, there are, I believe, 9 theaters in that center. If, you know, if some of them need to be rehabbed in some fashion, Des, you could close one of those. You could do the rehab in one, keep the other 8 open, go through all. You could close 2 or 3 of them if you wanted to.
Well, sure, but that's what a sane renovation would be like. And remind, and just to be clear,
yeah,
the Kennedy Center underwent an extensive renovation and expansion back in 2019.
Oh, did it?
Yes. And
okay.
So on top of that, Trump in the White House today told reporters that he has no plans to tear it down. But he
well,
did.
Well, that part is a relief, at least.
Yeah,
yes, that part.
But he did also mention that he was interested in keeping the steel and some of the marble. So it sounds like he might be doing a gutting of the interior, keeping it on the outside, which, of course, would also run afoul of arts and cultural commissions in Washington, D.C. that are supposed to have control over design and renovation of major buildings that are part of the federal government. Also, we know that this was something he just made up out of the blue because the
yes.
Kennedy Center just announced their summer musical season, which will now be canceled after July 4th. And Washington Post reports just moments ago that board members of the Kennedy Center were completely blindsided by all of this. And there's one more thing.
Because he knows it was failing. Because
yes.
we just covered last week on this show that the guy they had just hired to be the artistic director there to choose all the performances across the entire center was hired with great fanfare on January, I think it was January 16. And 2 weeks later, he quit along with the Washington Opera. The Washington National Opera that has been there since 1971 when I think the center opened, and Philip Glass just canceled his symphony there. The thing is, you know, flopping like a Trump casino, man. And so he's, it's the old Pee Wee Herman, I meant to do that defense.
Yes, that would be a good way of putting it. And I think one thing that is I find really disturbing
yeah.
about it is that a source close to the Kennedy Center told NPR today that one of the changes that Trump is apparently very enthusiastic about is the idea of putting in marble armrests at each seat
That's right.
in the main theater,
yeah.
which, along with being very cold and
yes.
uncomfortable for patrons,
yes.
would also drastically change the venue's acoustics. And that would be a major problem.
Yeah. That's why all the surfaces, when you go to the theater, the surfaces are generally covered in, you know, velvet and so on and so forth. And by the way, and this was underscored by Congresswoman Joyce Beatty, she is an ex officio member on that board. She said the Kennedy Center is congressionally funded, and Congress has to be consulted about any decisions to shut down its operations or make major renovations, especially for 2 years. She said, and let's be clear, remodeling the premises won't restore the Kennedy Center to what it was, but a return to artistic independence will, she said. 818-985-5735. Now, where are all of those Trump voters who used to call in before the election? Every time I come here and say, we want to hear from you, we'll put you at the top of the list, they don't call. Little Danny Sebastian over on Twitter, he still likes to throw spitballs from there, which is fine and hilarious. And if they had anything of substance, I might actually share them. But Danny, give us a call. He's on Twitter. He's Live Life Naked. Give us a call, Danny. What you feared of? 818-985-5735. I'll pay the toll. Let's go to Harold in Santa Barbara. Hey, Harold, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Wait a minute. I'm still kind of chuckling.
Okay.
Well, anyway,
get it together, Harold. Let's go. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, there you go. Hey, sometimes it's so beautiful to be wrong. I thought for sure they were going to invade California with all the movement and all the major cities. I thought for sure. So it's nice to be wrong, let me tell you.
Well, don't count your chickens just yet, Harold. We're not in Kansas anymore. People come and go very quickly around here. So, you know, we'll see who they invade next.
You just blistered my Levi's.
Desi, right? What is that you're saying there, Des?
Oh, basically that. Remember, the National Guard was here, so we in Los Angeles, particularly, we had that invasion there.
They was here. Standing around doing nothing for a few weeks, pretending with Donald Trump, pretending that he is, you know, like he put out the wildfires last year by opening up the spigots in the north that never reached Los Angeles,
which is not a thing, right?
Not a thing. And so, in that same way, we brought back we ended the crime in Southern California, in Los Angeles, by sending in the National Guard, who did absolutely nothing but stand around federal buildings. But ICE, as you know, Des, ICE is still running around here.
ICE is still running operations here. They are still picking up normal, hardworking people who are just out doing their jobs and detaining them on short notice and breaking up families. So that is still happening. It's just not the same level that has garnered media attention like in Minneapolis.
818-985-573. Oh, wait a minute. Harold, did you finish your point? I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Just going to say, can't we get these guys hooked on Krispy Kremes just like other police? Oh, they're not police.
Well, they are not police. Plus, they'd have to pull down their face masks. You can tell they're not police because they're the ones who don't let you see their face. They're the cowards who have to wear a balaclava or whatever those things are called on their face because what they're doing is so, so scary that even though cops around the country, some pretty violent police forces, in fact, you notice they not only don't wear masks, they actually have their name on their chest. But no, these ICE people have to protect themselves. Anyway, thanks, Harold. Have a Krispy Kreme on me, my friend. All right. 818-985 5735 818-985 KPFK. Let me go to Randy. Wait a minute. Did I? Yeah, there we go. Randy, welcome to the broadcast, sir. What's on your mind today?
Thank you very much. I just dropped my headset. I can't hear. I want to wish you all a
come on, listeners, get it together. What is going on out there? Yes, go ahead, Randy.
I want to wish you a happy Orange Hogs Day. It's where Trump comes out, poops on the Constitution, and if nobody does anything about it, we get 9 more years of fascism.
Man, but he does that every day, Randy.
Yes, but it's special.
Yes, he does it every day. Yeah, yeah, and it looks like he did it again today. So I guess we can look forward to. Wait, you said 9 more years? What?
That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. We still have the rule of law. We still have the Constitution. We just have to fight for it. We have we the people, and I think we the people are not going to stand for that crap. But maybe that's just me. If you disagree, give me a call, 818-985-5735. I hear a lot of people freaking out. Oh, he's going to do this or that at elections. Sure, he's going to try. The question is, are we going to let him? Are we going to be cowed by that? Are we going to be frightened by that? Are you going to be frightened by that, Randy?
No, there are many millions of the bad guys. And if all we have to do is get we don't have to bench press 300 pounds.
Oh, Randy, you're breaking up. Clearly the bad guys are trying to stifle you on the airwaves. Sorry about that, Randy. Good to hear from you, though. Anyway, my friend, stay safe. Don't be scared of these clowns. 818-985-5735. That's what they were counting on. That's what they had hoped for. That's why they do these show of force. You know, they're not just quietly going around and, removing the worst of the worst criminal aliens, as they describe them. They're not just getting them out of our country and, making the world better. They are going around with social media cameras I mean, that Himmler wannabe Greg Bovino last week, you know, who they sent him back out to pasture back down in Central California, you know, he was going around with an entire PR squad filming him, filming everything he was doing as he was wearing his Nazi long coat. It's for public consumption. They, you know, Chicago, bringing in Black Hawk helicopters and descending into an apartment building where they found no one to arrest, where they found no criminals. That's all for show. That's all for the cameras. Why? Because they want to scare you. Which, by the way, is why we try to not allow them to scare us, which is why we try to ridicule them and hold them up for the ridicule that they so richly deserves, that he so richly deserves. And anybody like little Danny Sebastian over on Twitter, you know, who buys into this nonsense. You know, they're all clowns. That's fine. That's their right. But what they're trying to do is frighten you. What they are trying to do is terrify you. They are terrorizing cities. They are terrorizing people. They are terrorizing cities and non-citizens alike. That's their hope. Don't let them do it. Don't let them do it. Go out there. Laugh in their faces. What's that? You have that clip?
Remember, this was something that Jon Stewart on, yeah. I think we do, on The Daily Show, Jon Stewart pointed out that, yes, it's really important that people still go out there nonviolently protest and also witness. Hit clip four, please.
And to add insult to injury is the denial of the reality that we all witnessed. They're lying. We saw it. And that's how brazen they lie when they know we've seen the truth. That's how they lie when they know we know. Imagine how they lie when there's no evidence to contradict them. And maybe that more than anything explains why Alex Pretty really was a threat. Because he was brandishing a weapon. A handheld aluminum 1080p 60fps weapon of mass illumination. Because there is nothing more dangerous to a regime predicated on lies than witnesses who capture the truth.
That sort of broke up there, but, you know, that's what they are afraid of. They are afraid of our cameras. They are afraid of Alex Pretty holding up his phone. They are afraid of you. They have their own cameras because they want to tell their pretend made-up stories. We know the real story, and everybody's got a camera that can show it from every angle. All right. Where John's point being, you know, if that's how they're lying to you when we can see that they're lying, only imagine what this corrupt bunch is doing behind closed doors that you don't know about. All right. Bunch of folks coming in. Let's see. We only have a few more minutes. James in Santa Barbara. Hey, James, your thoughts very quickly.
Very quickly, yeah. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, the problem, one of the problems is we keep calling them the Gestapo, and there is a lot of similarity to that, but really it's the slave patrols. Mm. Once we understand that that's the nature of it, we'll get what all the tactics are. And it was actually the precursor to police abuse and a lot of other things I don't have time to go into, but that was my point.
Excellent point, and arguably why the Second Amendment was added to the Constitution. Thanks, James. I appreciate that smart thought. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to Carol in Oxnard. Hey, Carol, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Brad. I love your show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say when the madding crowd can't take it anymore, they do stuff. And I wonder if people today remember what happened to Mussolini.
Didn't he and his wife end up hanging from a rope?
Correctamundo.
Not that I'm a great historian, but I do have that picture in my mind. Okay, well, thank you for that grisly image, Carol. I appreciate it. Thank you. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to who do I have here? What time are we up against? Let me go to Morris. We only have just a minute or so left, and we it's not a broadcast without a Morris. Hey, Morris, welcome to the broadcast, sir. Mo.
I just want to say this. Your boy, Bad Bunny, that's my man. I wouldn't recognize his music if I don't know who he is.
Wait, hang on a second. Mo, you don't know who Bad Bunny is?
Oh, I don't know who. You know, what's going on with my boy? I've never heard of the guy for the Emmy Awards. And when he said, "Any love conquers hate," he touched my heart. He touched my heart. He took over the world.
He
I just have to pull us out of this.
All right. Mo, we got to get you a better phone because I love what you have to say, but we always have the hardest time hearing you. Hold that phone a little farther away from your face. Let me hear how it sounds.
There's something really with my
See. We can't hear you today. It's just bad today. We're going to have to make a fund and buy Mo an iPhone or something like that. Hey, good to hear from you, brother. If you don't know who Bad Bunny is, tune in to the Super Bowl this Sunday. I hear he'll be there.
And I just want to add.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, good. I just want to add that something that when I was able to hear Morris, he had basically said that, you know, he noted that Bad Bunny, his tour is skipping the United States.
Yep.
And he believes that FIFA, all the FIFA countries, should also skip the United States and boycott, mostly because of, you know, the ice.
You mean because the World Cup coming up here.
Exactly.
And Donald Trump just cannot wait. That's his biggest accomplishment, is showing up like a toddler to watch the games. And gosh, wouldn't that be sad if the nations didn't show up to play at all. Anyway, all right, got to go. I think we got to get out. Do we got to get out? We got to get out. My thanks to everybody. Sorry I couldn't get to all the callers, but we will keep trying. Thanks for everyone who tuned in, who listened in, who called in, and everything else. Thanks also to our producer, Desi Doyen, to our board operator, Will Coltrane, and a special thanks to our friend, Wendell Handy. We love you, my friend. If you missed any portion of today's show or any other that we've done since the beginning of time, you can download them anytime for free at bradblog.com. You can also drop me an email if you like. Always good to hear from you. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com. And on the social medias, including Blue Sky, you'll find me there at all of them, where I am the Brad Blog. We will see you there until we see you here again, hopefully tomorrow. I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world. Listening to the Bradcast. We are 100% listener supported, thanks to listeners like you who stop by bradblog.com/donate.